has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood Gaiden. I'm your host, Fred, and joining me for the first time, our new friend of the show, Mike Pappas.
Hey, Fred, happy to be here, man.
So, Fantastic Neighborhood Gaiden is a shorter version of the show where we take one topic or theme and discuss it. This week's theme is one that is near and dear to most of our hearts, and we called the expert in. It's the Star Wars Episode 7 teaser.
I don't know about the expert, but I'm definitely here to add in my two cents. I mean, I've been waiting for this for...
You are as far as friends go, you are my Star Wars expert. You are the guru that I go to.
That's good. That's good to know.
I mean, I know some other guys who might, you know... You're not like an extended universe guy, right?
It's expanded universe, actually.
Okay. Sorry. I went off canon.
Oh, man, we're starting this off on a good tip here. I've read several books. I've always kind of... I never really got... infatuated with the EU for the sense that I felt it wasn't George's stories. It was other people's stories that he was just signing a piece of paper off of. So I didn't...
Right.
To me, it was never really real Star Wars. It was always legends to me. To other people, yeah. That's their Bible, actually. Like, you talk about someone like Jason Solo and Jaina Solo, they did not just exist. They are
the world that exists. They're current.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always thought the books were where, like, the really goofy stuff happens. Like, my suspension of disbelief, like, I mean, it was hard enough already. I mean, granted, it's a, you know, a pew-pew space movie. But, like, all right, there's this little green dude, and they use magic force to do things. All right, I can buy that. But then when it gets into, like, the robot needs love, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've been thinking about over the past couple of years, hopefully waiting for an announcement for something to happen with Disney acquiring Lucasfilm and all that,
right.
Is the fact that they treat droids in this galaxy, in this universe, like real people, right?
And right.
There's never been an understanding of how is that even possible? Their circuits, as they call them, how does that make them exactly like a
right.
real person?
That's,
and do
I mean,
droids have souls, right? Like, does R2 have a soul?
Right, that was sort of like the path they went down in Star Trek, actually. Like, that, like, a lot of the storyline just revolved around the Data and is he really a person or not?
Right.
And then Star Wars, like, whenever you get deep into the droids, it's just comic relief.
Right. So that's not... I'm sorry, I'm not a Trekkie at all. But
no, it's fine.
That's not related to that Borg stuff, right?
No, that's something totally different.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about this. So the trailer, for those who haven't seen it yet, it's available online. It leaked last week, as of this recording.
Yep, actually Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. So, I don't... It's a teaser. It's not a trailer, right?
Right.
Because it's 86 seconds long,
yep.
And of those 86 seconds, like, 20 of them are black screen, 10 of them are the card at the end of the thing that says, click here for more Star Wars content, right?
Yep.
It's a really short teaser. It's probably only about a minute, if even.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not... It's short, bursty action sequences, as opposed to, like, one... roller coaster sort of. I mean, I guess they're saving that for the trailer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole idea behind it was just to give fans a very, very tiny taste of what's to come. We all know, well, if you don't know, J.J. Abrams loves to keep everything under wraps whenever he's working on, and he also loves to tease.
Right.
Quote, unquote. So that's kind of the reason for this. And people were anticipating it. I mean, production got wrapped up in Pinewood about 2 or 3 weeks right before the teaser came out, and the second that happened, like, the forums and all the sites are blowing up.
Oh, yeah,
we're
yeah.
definitely going to see something for Christmas.
Well,
know?
And then the NDA expires, I think, in January for a lot of the guys that worked on it, so stuff could start leaking. I think, based on Star Trek, Abrams Star Trek, he was pretty good at keeping the details under wrap for that. So I think that, I don't know that we're going to get the full story before the movie comes out, or maybe not too far in advance. It's become commonplace, from what I understand. I don't know if they did it on this movie, to film scenes that could lead you down a different path and just not use them to
okay.
throw people off. Like, there have been movies where they did, like, 5 different endings or something like that.
Right.
And they didn't tell anyone which the real one was.
Well, I mean, we can go back to Empire Strikes Back, right? Like,
right.
I think not only did they film 2 or 3 different scenes not with the Luke, I Am Your Father episode, but towards the end with Han Solo, where right. he was getting frozen in carbonite. Does he die? Does he not? And I also think that in the script, the only people who actually had the dialogue or the proper script for that scene with Luke finding out his father is Darth Vader was George Lucas and Mark Hamill, right?
Right.
So
and James Earl Jones, I guess,
and, right? and James Earl Jones, yeah. right? Like David Prowse had no idea. David Prowse probably thought he had the right line.
He was just pantomiming, right?
Yeah. right. Exactly.
Oh, that's crazy. So you know the. Let's get into some details about this thing. And if you haven't watched it yet, pause the podcast, go watch it. It's all of a minute and a half long. So the thing that first struck me about this trailer, and after having seen the original trilogy and then all the special editions of that, and then the prequel trilogy, this one looks a lot more like the original trilogy than the prequels did. The prequels, like, everything was bright and shiny and new, and it was still Star Wars because it had, like, the tropes. It had, like, the desert planet, and it had the starship battles. But, like, you didn't have X-Wings. You know, you had all these brand new ships. Everything was bright yellow. You had all these alien races you didn't recognize. This one, it's like, that's Tatooine.
Yep.
That's a land speeder. Boom. That's a lightsaber.
Boom.
Yeah.
I think going into the creation of this trilogy, Kathleen Kennedy, J.J. Abrams, and Disney were all in agreement that we need to kind of merge both of the fans, right? So there's two generations of fans. There's actually three if you want to talk about Clone Wars and now Rebels and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, I think the extensions of the universe are actually really good. I would put them above the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, I've been telling a lot of people this lately. The Clone Wars, the five seasons of Clone Wars plus the lost episodes that they released earlier this year are way better than the first three films.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I've heard good things about Rebels, and I loved, even before Clone Wars, the other Clone Wars, the Genndy Tartakovsky ones.
Oh, that was great. On Cartoon Network.
Yeah, yeah, where there were like 5-minute hits or something like that. That was great. Brilliant.
There was one episode where Mace Windu took on, I think, 8,000 droids by himself, which was...
And that was where, before the third movie of the prequels came out, they introduced General Grievous.
Yes.
And he was a lot more imposing before they showed him in the movie.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, he was a horrible character.
But yeah, I mean, I think, going back to what we were saying, the fact that it ties probably closer to the real trilogy, like, I think that's a good move. I don't want it to just be a rehash. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be its own set of movies based in that universe, and I want it to have continuity, and I don't want it to feel forced. But I don't want a Luke character, a Leia character, a Han character, just with different actors in a different time. You know what I mean?
Right. I think this is the first time in, you know, almost 40 years that Star Wars can go in any direction it wants to. So what I'm saying is George was kind of limited to what he could do with the prequels for the fact that, like, the story is a story. It's a story of Anakin Skywalker turning into Darth Vader, right? There's only so much he can do there. With the Clone Wars CGI cartoon, there's only so much they can do there because certain characters don't meet till episode 3, right?
Right.
Certain characters have to obviously stay alive and so forth. So I think this is the first time where they can literally take the story in any direction they want to.
Sure.
In terms of formula and having your stereotypical characters like your Han Solo and your rebellious type and your Luke Skywalker, the hero protagonist. I mean, that's just movie formula in general. I mean,
These are archetypal characters.
Yeah. And I think they can utilize some of that, but possibly and potentially do it in a really smarter, cooler way, which is what I think we're hoping for.
So some of the things that, you know, and so here's the thing about Star Wars fandom. They really notice, they get hung up on the mundane and sort of like the pedantic little detail as opposed to the overall. I had a big discussion at work today about this. Like, Star Wars fans hate change. And that's why they didn't like, not that I love the prequels or anything, but like, they didn't like the prequels because it wasn't more of the same movie.
Okay.
And the things, I noted some things in these things that people are getting, instead of like the, what's the overall story? What's the morality of this story? What message is it telling? They're caught up on little things like, there's a ball droid. So I have this list of things. There's a lot of things that were familiar to us, but feel new. This. So the ball droid was one of them, which, like, I don't know why people are so hung up on the fact, like, I've heard so many arguments about whether a ball droid would work or not. Yeah, in like, the Star Wars, I'm like, it's held together by magic. Move on.
I mean, Star Wars galaxy physics have nothing to do with that planet, so I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why that's so unbelievable, but, you know, the Millennium Falcon is, you know? Yeah. Like, and then you had mentioned to me, you saw someone already got a tattoo of that thing?
Yeah, so somebody in Arizona, actually, they I listened to a podcast called Rebel Force Radio. They actually had the tattoo artist on last week. So this diehard Star Wars fan literally saw the trailer on Saturday. Him and his father both went to the tattoo shop, and he got the ball droid on his inside forearm, and his father got the new Stormtrooper helmet on his inside
forearm. See, I like the new Stormtrooper helmet. I didn't love the ball droid. I mean, not that I think, like, I don't care about the design of it. I wouldn't want that on my body.
Well, here's the worst part about this guy's tattoo, right? Like, let's say we're all getting trolled, and the ball droid is only in the movie for, like, a minute.
Which
right?
is likely, you know what I mean?
Like, totally. Crazy.
Like, it feels, like, impractical that the ball droid would travel with them being the way it is.
Yeah, I don't see that working very well. Even for, like, the way they wanted the shots and the way they're going to actually film the cinematography, right. Like, it would just be kind of hard because it doesn't look like he can leave the ground very high.
Right, exactly.
And to make life easier for the prequels, I mean, George had R2 fly, which was, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah,
we don't need to get
ruined
into,
childhoods.
Yeah.
You know, so you mentioned the Stormtrooper helmet. So the Stormtroopers have a new, they're not like crazy new, it's still a white and black iPod soldier.
Yeah.
But they have a new sort of like, I guess it's, I don't want to say it's more imposing, but it's like a sleeker, more modern design.
You took the words. I was just going to say it's sleeker, right? So it's like, this is 30 years later from Return of the Jedi. There has to be some type of advancements, right? So I think they just kind of took the overall look of the Stormtrooper and made, like, cut the angles, made sharper angles, made it sleeker, maybe shinier, it almost seems like, but that could be, like, new.
It's also the fidelity
HD.
Of the HD that we have now, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, this thing is filmed in, what, like, 16K? Or what are the cameras up to now, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know the exact specs. I mean, I'm not a huge movie buff in terms of knowing cameras, but they use, like, the best IMAX cameras.
Right, yeah, whatever is the best thing, they probably have that and maybe one thing above it.
One thing above that,
you know,
right?
Like, because when the original Star Wars came out, they invented cameras and stuff just so they could make that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could do that anymore. I feel like it just happens now, but...
Yeah.
Like, whatever they want in this movie will be in this movie. There's absolutely no limitation.
There, I did hear that Bad Robot and ILM kind of came together and created new editing tools specifically for episode 7.
And that's probably for convenience and all that, yeah.
I think so. I think that's the main reason.
I mean, is there anything they couldn't put in this movie at this point? Like, there's no technical limitation. Whatever you envision and put on that script is going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, episode 8, we make it smell-o-vision in the theater. I don't know.
So, speaking of, you know, so they changed the Stormtrooper uniform. Someone noted to me that they changed the Rebel uniform as well.
It looks a little different. It looks a little more stylish, I think, in comparison to the X-Wing fighter, this Rogue Squadron jumpsuits of 1977, right? So I think it's a lot
pouches
more...
Pouches everywhere.
The pouches and all that. And it's got updated a little bit. You see, I believe it's Oscar Isaac flying in the X-Wing over, which looks to be like a lake, which... looks pretty cool.
Sure.
And he's got this, you know, new sleek, it still has the Rebel colors, right? So it's still like orange, gray, and white.
Orange, gray, and white, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got that Rebel bird insignia up on his helmet.
So, but the insignia did change a little bit, because it used to have the stars on it, and they removed that.
It
and
did.
There was a huge thread about this I was reading, where it was like, people were like trying to read into the deeper meaning of what the stars represented, and now they're gone, so what does that mean? And then one guy came onto the thread and went like, you know, Pepsi changed its logo like 4 times in the last 15 years, so I can imagine maybe they lost the Illustrator file.
Oh my god. Yeah, I honestly, I've never really looked into the logo that deeply to even see why the stars are there or part of the logo.
I'm sure that there was a... I mean, I don't know that George Lucas had a reason for it so much as someone who wrote a book later on put a meaning to it. It just feels like an aesthetic design choice at some point. You know? Once again, 70s.
And I'm sure that emblem will get explained in some book or some comic book somewhere. One thing that I did think was super cool is the X-Wing pilot on his vest or his uniform or what have you, there looked to be some Orabesh there, which is the Star Wars galaxy alphabet, if you will. And somebody actually encrypted that or translated it. And I looked it up and it says pull to inflate, right? So I guess that's his eject. Like safety measure there to inflate whatever that would do in space, but something's inflating when he's getting ejected. And to me, that just shows me the level of depth and detail they're actually putting into this film to make the hardcore fans.
Happy, oh, sure. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the mom and the 5-year-old kid whose mom is taking to see this film, they don't care about the Ourobesh being translated properly to.
Right, right, right.
But somebody like me would appreciate that.
Yeah, I've heard that there's detail like that throughout the entire movie. I mean, I guess when you're filming Star Wars, like, cost and timing is not really an issue, right? If it has to be there to be perfect, it has to be there. Because from what I understand, all the prop planes and all that, like, everything, like, they basically treated it like, this is a real spaceship. What would be written here? You know, watch step. You know what I mean? Like,
it's literally creating that world in reality on set, not even for the screen, yeah. Right? I mean, it's that deep.
Yeah, and then, you know, they redesigned the X-Wing for this as well, slightly. Like, I think the X-Wing is really, besides the Falcon, it's the most iconic ship.
Yep.
You know, maybe the Star Destroyer, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ships in Star Wars, but, like, so they gave it, once again, I think they gave it the Stormtrooper treatment, right? They made it a little slicker,
yep.
A little more streamlined, less like a toy, I guess. I mean, it's still, rest assured, that will be a toy.
Oh, that'll be a huge seller.
Yeah.
It looks a little sleeker than the original X-Wing. I think the S-foils can still kind of close in that position, open in that position.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to have some fun little tricks up its sleeve that we'll eventually see throughout the film. Something that you did mention, it's like you saw this trailer and you've got all these great nostalgic elements of it, like X-Wings and TIE Fighters and the Millennium Falcon and,
right.
and planets that we may or may not have been to before in other movies. And I think a lot of that has to do with the practical effects they're using for this film, along with on-site locations instead of just green screen, right?
Right.
So my point is that it's not just seeing familiar ships and things like this. It's more of you're getting a feeling of that looks so real. Actually, that is real. They built an X-Wing.
Yeah,
right?
Most of the ships, I think, have a real-life counterpart.
Right. And that sand that you see in the beginning where John Boyega is coming up very sweaty is sand from Abu Dhabi, which is where they were filming.
Right.
We haven't seen real sand. I don't believe – actually, I'm wrong. In episode one, when they picked up Anakin, that was actually filmed on location in desert. But majority of the prequels – I mean, I'm sure we can all agree – majority of the prequels are all done on a green screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, the technology is already like 10 years old or whatever. Like the you could – you know, it looked CG.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like it's almost impossible to tell with faces. It still gives it away a lot of times, I think. But with, like, you know, you can't tell a CG car in a television commercial anymore. It's just a car. You don't know.
Right.
I like when they do practical. I really do. You know, and sometimes even practical, it's slightly worse even. And I still like it better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I have no pretense that I'm not watching a movie. You know, like, I'm okay with that. But I like seeing the effort and the love they put into stuff like that. And it shows when you have practical. The other thing I like about practical is they can't get rid of it.
Right.
They can't suddenly take that monster out and then put Ghost Anakin in or whatever. You know, they do. Yeah.
Unless you're George Lucas, he thinks he can do whatever he wants.
Do whatever he wants. So, okay. So I think... we talked about the Falcon. It's got a new satellite dish. It lost it. I don't think there's anything deeper than that, right? It needed a new dish because it lost it.
Lando and Nine Nub broke the dish. Yeah.
So I think we have to talk about the biggest issue in the trailer, the most talked about issue in the trailer.
Let's just get it out there.
I've heard it called the Tri-Saber. I call
it the Claymore Saber. Some people
the Broad Saber. I've heard
Broad Saber is a popular.
And then
one.
I've also heard the Junk Saber. Saber.
Okay, and that's probably one that's more in line with what it is, I believe.
Right.
I believe,
but we'll get into that a little later.
Okay.
So this thing has been the topic of discussion because it's because it's different and we want our Star Wars to be the same.
Right.
But but like the hilt on the sword being two tiny lightsabers and just sort of being a silly design. What are your thoughts on it?
So can I just back up for one second?
Sure, yeah.
We said we like our Star Wars to be the same, right?
Right.
So I think
The collective we, though.
We're talking about like the purists there that like are the OG fan, the OT fans, right?
Right.
The original trilogy.
This could be the original trilogy with new actors and they'd be okay with
it. Because since 1999, almost every piece of or big piece of Star Wars content has introduced a new lightsaber.
Right.
Every single one. I mean, you go from Maul's dual-bladed to episode two, Dooku has like this curve.
Yeah,
right?
Like I don't.
And he's got two of them.
Yeah.
And then episode three. I'm trying to think. I know there is some. Oh, Grievous is rocking four with two different colors
on
each hand
thing.
And doing the spinny thing. And then it just goes on and on. I mean,
that might have been where it jumped the shark a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always been new sabers throughout the prequel era into the Clone Wars and now into Rebels because this Inquisitor guy has this crazy thing. So this has kind of become the trend. Right. When we say we want our Star Wars the same, I think we're speaking for the purist fans and the fans of our generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, it's funny. So the reason I think that they changed the swords, right, past the original trilogy is because they want to introduce new fights that feel different, right? And I'm not going to lie. I think the best thing that most people took out of the first movie was Ray Park as Darth Maul.
Yep.
A character that before we saw the movie had so much potential, had the double lightsaber. How does that work? How does he not kill himself with that thing, right? You know, and I always feel like he was squandered potential. But
yep.
He, you know, they wanted to introduce a different fighting style into the movie.
Yeah.
And then the second one with Christopher Lee, like, I feel like he fought slightly differently, but, you know, he held the lightsaber differently. Like, there was a different feel to it, right? And they all sort of mimic actual fighting styles from real life, right?
Yes.
You know, Ray Park did like a jiu-jitsu thing, you know. The original trilogy was more of a, almost like a fencing sort of style, or
like, I don't know if sloppy fencing exists, but
like Errol Flynn style movie, yeah. Sort like it was a movie sword fight, right?
Yeah.
And then now that he has this, you know, that you see the Trisaber and it really sort of looks like, you know, a very broad sword, like it's trying to emulate. I feel like the fights are going to be more like he's going to be a very brute force character. He's going to just do people in and just, you know, big powerful hits, right?
Yep.
You know, and it's funny, like you it's funny how much you can talk about a fictional weapon, because like I was thinking to myself, like, why does the lightsaber blade have to be like, it's longer, but like
it seems longer, doesn't
it? The length is arbitrary, the width is arbitrary, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because it doesn't matter, it's still a laser beam, it cuts through whatever it touches except another lightsaber. It doesn't have to be wide, it could be, you know, it has no weight to it.
I think they want to give you the illusion that it's heavier because of the way they want to choreograph these fight scenes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think they want it to have, and like, keep in mind, the real actor is holding an analog, you know what,
yeah.
I mean? Like, which I think is good because it gives it some depth
and some weight, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes the movement a little bit more realistic. Right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I ultimately don't care about the Trisaber all that much. I think it's honestly, personally, I think it's silly. I don't think they needed the hilt, or they could have done it differently. But I think it's going to lead to good action scenes in the movie.
I think it'll be interesting to kind of see how he uses it. He kind of opens it with that one hand.
Right.
But then I can't imagine this being a one-handed weapon, right? I mean,
I think he's
got two hands on this, just like a broadsword.
Sure.
And he's going to swing full body, you know,
two-handed
weapon style.
Yeah, yeah, right? I think that would make the most sense.
And, I mean, you know, Luke Skywalker can probably fight at this point with both hands or one hand or what have you. So it'll be interesting to see the way,
sure,
the different fighting styles are going to mix.
Yeah, so moving on from the lightsaber, you know, let's talk about the stuff that was missing from the trailer. Because, like, for all the good it was, like, there's a lot of... The internet is full of people who complain.
Yes.
And there were a lot of issues that people brought up. But here are the big ones that I noticed and then other people noticed.
Okay.
So first of all, that this Star Wars movie doesn't have a whole lot of space in the trailer. There are no depictions of outer space.
This is Land Wars.
Upper atmosphere war. Right? Like, there's, you know, even the Millennium Falcon and the X-Wings are flying in above ground,
yeah,
like very close to the ground.
Troposphere Wars. No, that was bad.
That was fine. I'll allow it.
Stratosphere one.
Stratosphere. So I'm hoping, and this is like a weird worry, because I feel like, you know, ultimately we're going to see the script and we're going to go yay or nay, right? But,
yep,
like, I'm hoping that there's some space in this first one and it's not like the closing scene of the movie is them leaving the planet or something for the first time.
I don't think that. I mean, I'm 99% sure we are going to see space. I mean,
do you think it's going to open on a, like, because all the other first movies have opened on a space scene?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You think it's going to open on a, like, a Star Destroyer or something like that?
It has to, because the opening crawl is a character in itself. And
right,
we leave the opening crawl because it introduces us to this world again.
Yeah.
And then it leaves us in the stars.
Right.
So the camera doesn't just, like, I guess, pan away or edit away to like a scene somewhere inside somewhere. It,
right,
always pans down into the stars to a ship,
right,
or to a planet with a, well, ship in front of a planet.
In the first movies, it's always a ship, right?
Right.
Episode one and episode four are ships. So I think they're going to keep that consistent.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I mean, even in Empire, right? It's in there, and then it pans to the Star Destroyer.
Right.
Right. And then you've got the probe droid kind of going down to Hoth, right? I mean, that's kind of how it starts. So they all start in space. Now, if I had to put my money on, we're going to see somewhere similar to Empire Strikes Back where we see space for a little bit and it goes right to a planet. I would say from what we have so far, from the teaser at least, that's probably what's going to happen. But I could be, obviously, it could open in this giant space battle like Episode 3.
Yeah, yeah. I almost think, like, I feel like what's going to happen is the first scene in the movie is not going to get any explanation. It's just going to be, you're thrown into a big starship battle. You don't know why. You don't know the people. Maybe something happens, someone ejects or a ship goes down or something like that and it crashes into a planet and then you go down to the planet.
Sounds chaotic and J.J. Abrams-esque.
It's Abrams-esque. That's what I was going for. Yeah. So the other thing that this trailer didn't have, any aliens.
No aliens. We had droids, but no aliens.
So, you know, and aliens have, I mean, they've not been, I don't want to say they're a pivotal point or anything like that, but they've always been present. It's Star Wars. It's intergalactic space.
Yep.
You know, there's Jawas, there's Wookiees. I mean, one of the main characters was, in fact, a Wookiee.
Yep.
And I'm assuming, I have to imagine that there will be a Chewbacca character as one of the main storyline characters throughout the trilogy, if not actually Chewbacca.
I would think so. I would think. I mean, even going back to, well, I mean, the original trilogy, obviously, but Episode 1, I mean, they tried to give us Jar Jar Binks, right? Yeah. So that, if that character's going to be CGI'd or in a costume or in makeup or what have you, that character, in my speculation, is going to definitely exist. It's always been there. So.
And then the other thing that, you know, they didn't show in the teaser, and this didn't surprise me, not that much, is that there's no returning characters shown, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Leia, Luke, Han, none of them are previewed in the teaser. And I think the reason, honestly, I don't think we're going to see them in the trailer either.
Well, what about no R2 and no 3PO? Just as big, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, no original trilogy, basically. That's what I'm saying. And I think they want to save that surprise for the theater. I really think, see, D2 and 3PO, whatever. They'll throw them in there, right? And I can almost imagine the trailer, the full trailer ending with like a VO or something like that of, you know, someone saying something. But I can't imagine it not having too much of them because I think they want to save them for the actual movie
experience. Yeah, I think that's like the biggest
spotlight. That's the draw.
Yeah. I mean, we've been waiting since 1983 to see these characters back on the screen. So,
yeah. So some of the other stuff that's surrounding this teaser, it's so crazy how this teaser managed to spring up so much content in such a short time, right? Yep. Have you seen any of the fan-made trailers? Like
I've seen everyone except the Minecraft one. I actually got sent to my phone right before I got here, and I didn't watch it.
I didn't see that one yet.
I did see the TBS one with Family Guy that just got released last night.
Oh, I didn't see that one yet either.
That just got released. That is really good.
I like the, I mean, the one that I really like, even though it was super predictable, is still the special edition one.
Oh my God. The George Lucas one.
Yeah, the George Lucas special edition.
My favorite is Jabba the Hutt in the middle of the sand.
Just in the middle of the sand.
For no reason.
The two scenes that got me were where the ball droid is just rolling. It's just a rock around it.
The giant rock.
It's a rock following it.
For no reason.
And the Millennium Falcon scene where instead of two TIE fighters, it's like 1,300.
It's basically like that scene in Return of the Jedi with the TIEs that's coming at the Falcon.
Just covered the sky in TIE fighter.
It's raining TIEs.
That one was really good. The Lego one was really good.
That was great.
I pretty much love anything with Lego. You know what is going to be fun, I think, is that when the second Lego movie comes out, this will already have released, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's going to be a lot of references to this Star Wars in that movie.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
I mean, you saw the Lego movie, right?
Yes.
They had the big Millennium Falcon scene, which everyone was excited about.
One thing about Star Wars is that it's that one franchise, and I'm sure there are a lot of other franchises, and some of you may argue with me that
no one is as vocal about it.
Okay.
Than Star Wars fans.
Right.
I know exactly
right.
where you're going.
And what I'm saying is, you look at, the fan-made stuff, right? Like, the fan films. And,
right.
within a week and a half, we have 40 different versions of the trailer, from Legos to video games to animation to people, right?
Right.
To live-action replications of this trailer. So it's the cultural phenomenon of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's just showing with this whole thing.
I think the only show, or the only thing that has such, the only two things that really have a following, like Star Wars in my eyes, are Harry Potter.
Yep. I agree.
And that's because it got, you know, same with Star Wars. It got kids when they were young. It grew up with them. And there's so much content, you know, that it's just like...
I mean, what's that, like eight books and...
Seven movies, or eight movies, seven books. They have more stuff coming out. Like, yeah. There's just so much, right? It's Harry Potter. And even though it's a very small subsect of the community, Doctor Who. Doctor Who fans are,
you know,
nut jobs.
I've seen this and people have told me about it. And it's this giant phenomenon and... I don't even want to call it underground because I didn't know about it beforehand, but Apparently it's this huge subculture.
It's absolutely huge.
I think Dee is into Doctor Who, or she
was. I am too. We watch it pretty regularly.
Okay, cool.
I'm not dressing up in character and going to conventions for Doctor Who.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's huge. But it's, like I said, it's like a small interest group within a small interest group. You know, like, it's really, I mean, Star Wars, like, I hate calling it fandom. I hate calling it like nerd culture or anything at this point, because it's not. Star Wars is like so mainstream at this point. Like, my grandmother knew who Star Wars was. You know? Like this is nothing new for anyone.
Well, she may look at a picture of Darth Vader, call him Star Wars.
Yeah, she'd be like, that's Star Wars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're fighting with the light swords.
The laser beams.
Laser swords. That's what it is. So one of the things you pointed out to me, and this is a weird one, is spoilers, right?
Yeah.
And there's a guy who, I guess he's on, what is he on? 4chan.
He's on 4chan, yeah. Which, well, he's taken his whole stories over to Reddit because they're a little more gullible on Reddit and they were backing him more, but he originally came from 4chan.
Right. So this guy is named Spoiler Man, and every movie and at any given time, there's like one or two of these people who seem to have, like, they're the inside source, they have this connection where they're going to ruin the whole plot for everyone. They know all the details. And, like, so before we even talk about what this guy's said, and I don't want to go too deep into it because it's A, all speculation, and B, maybe people don't want to have it ruined. I don't know that I don't understand the allure of wanting to know. Like, I just want to see the movie, guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't want you to ruin it. I don't want you to leak it. I just want to see the movie.
I do follow a lot of the sites that are legit, right? So really quick, if anybody does want to follow making of the film and kind of any source leaks that are legit that come out, some sites I recommend are makingstarwars.net. The editor-in-chief is Jason Ward, and he's been, like, certified by the Star Wars community that, like, his leaks are legit. And everything he has said for the teaser and everything that kind of we've been speculating that we've already kind of that's been confirmed is literally came from him previously.
Right.
Star Wars Underworld, it's got some good stuff. You guys should definitely check out. And then the other two sites that aren't really Star Wars focused but are always on the ball before anybody else is Indie Revolver and Badass Digest.
Cool.
Now, with that said, I think the whole, I guess, jazz about being spoiled, especially with something like Star Wars, is that we have to wait. I think today is like day 375, right? So we have 375 days to wait till we can finally see the next footage of the live-action Star Wars
movie.
Well, we'll probably get a trailer before then, which we will.
Sure.
And I heard it best the other day on a different podcast I was actually listening to, is that a guy said, you know, every day I wake up and I go to these forums or these, you know, whatever, chat rooms or what have you, and if I do find that piece of information that happens to be true, that was like Christmas Day to me.
Right.
Right. So it's like the journey up until the movie comes out and you're constantly getting slowly spoiled.
Sure.
Now, some people say that's horrible. That's terrible. By the time the movie comes out, it's absolutely ruined. For a lot of these fans, it's really not, because they feel like they're part of this whole crazy mission up until the movie actually releases, and that's more adventurous for them, or more satisfying than just that one day on December 18th, 2015 of getting satisfied and seeing the whole thing. So they're slowly getting little bits and pieces, crumbs, if you will, and then they get another whole cookie on December 18th.
Well, it's weird, right? Like, there's a fine line between spoiler and, like, marketing material, right? Like, it's not really a spoiler if someone goes up to you and goes, hey, you know Luke Skywalker's in this movie? Like, we all know that because the information's been out there.
Right.
You couldn't avoid it, right? And they go, yeah, he's in Act 2. Like, that doesn't spoil it to me, right?
Yeah.
But to go, like, this character dies at this point by fighting this person. Like, I want to see that, right? So I don't understand, like, the people who want to read the entire script for the movie. Like,
I think a lot of it is, like, the whole conspiracy or speculation about if... Because it may not be true, right? So you get something on 4chan from this spoiler guy, and he says some character's going to die in some act, right? Nobody knows if this is true, and no one's going to back it up that it's 100% true. Well, people may, but it's obviously you got to be stupid to believe that person as well. So you kind of take that, and it's almost like trying to uncover the JFK assassination with 1,000 different pieces of paper on your desk, right?
Right.
So I think it's the whole, I guess, adrenaline rush or excitement about trying to figure out if that's real. Oh, what if that happens? And the whole fandom aspect comes into play with that too, right?
Right.
Like then you can write your own fanfic. Like if it went this way, this is what could potentially happen. Oh, imagine if that's fiction. It.
I can't wait for the Star Wars Episode 7 teaser fan erotica.
Oh my god.
You know that's going to be a thing.
Vivid's going to make a fortune.
There's going to be like a balls droid.
I'm surprised they haven't even done a teaser
for the porn episode version 7 of porn.
I mean, if they're smart, they would have done that already.
You know what? There's still time.
There's still time.
They just have to be first to market, that's all.
Right. Hanukkah just started, so.
God, there's so much material there too with the you have the balls droid and you have the tri-saber, which
oh my god.
There's got to be all right. You know what? We're giving too much away. Yeah, I say we take this and we keep it to ourselves. So,
bring it back.
So was there anything else you wanted to say about the trailer other than the fact that like we're kind of just excited for Star Wars at this point?
No, I'm excited as hell. I think we've covered everything here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We've covered well, the only other thing I'd like to actually cover is two things really quickly. The first is the first character that we see in the teaser is this stormtrooper.
Right.
He's got his helmet off. He's obviously black.
Right.
Right. And he's sweating. Okay. And I went back and I looked over all six films. I have never seen, and now take it, Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi are fighting on a lava planet.
Right.
Okay. I cannot find a shot, and maybe my TV's not that good. Of sweat on their face.
Yeah, no one sweats in this universe.
No one sweats.
No, you're correct.
So is that another element, a deeper element that JJ wants to bring of realism into these movies and not just a space opera? It's going to live and breathe better than it ever has before?
You think is that a sign to us? Like a little grittier almost even? Like, maybe. You know, people might take real damage in fights and stuff like that.
We may even get blood.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny.
I don't know.
Besides that, you know what I noticed about the casting? And this is totally like a bravo to them. But like you have... I'm assuming he's a, you know, the John Boyega's character is the lead, if not one of the leads, because it's an ensemble movie, right?
Right.
But you have a black lead. I forget the woman's name, but there's a black female lead as well.
Lupita Nyong'o. I'm sorry.
I can't butcher that. Yeah. So you have that. You have so you have a black female, which I don't think has ever been in a Star Wars before.
As an extra. Not as an extra. She was a Twi'lek.
The dancer.
The dancer in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. But she was green in that movie.
She was green. So yes. It was technically a black person being black was never.
Right. So you have that. You have Gwendolyn Christie.
Yep.
Female. Like, you know, the cast seems more diverse. There might actually be like more than one scene in this movie where more than one woman is talking to another woman.
Yeah. I mean, I think except for Domhnall Gleeson, I think, who's been cast, nobody is actually really a Caucasian white guy because Oscar Isaac is actually of Guatemalan descent.
Right.
And Adam Driver, I think, I could be mistaken, but I think Adam Driver.
You do, I mean, you do have white male characters, right?
They're so white, have, right? But they're not the stereotypical Mark Hamill, you know,
right.
Blue eyes, blonde
But then again,
hair.
You have Mark Hamill.
Right. Well, that's true.
But no, the younger generation is a little bit more diverse. I mean, you still have Max von Sydow is in the movie.
Yep.
You know, he's a stodgy old white dude.
Yeah.
You know, and Anthony Daniels and all that. Like, but I mean, I guess they're robots in this. But like, it's just like. I think one of the criticisms of Star Wars in the past has always been like it's such like a milquetoast character base. Like it's like white dude, one white woman, white dude. You know?
Well, we had Lando.
Yeah, and, okay. But like you didn't get Lando until like the third act of the second movie, and like he was there and he was great, but he also was like it could have been anyone.
All right. Well, we had Mace Windu.
We did eventually get Mace Windu, but once again, he's sort of like he was the odd one out. Like.
Yeah, actually,
he was also like the first guy with the purple lightsaber
and
like,
and a gold hilt.
Yeah, and a gold hilt. Like he had to be the odd one out, you know. But no, I think that's good. And you know, I gotta say, man, like I'm excited to have a big popcorn movie that I'm going to go to the theater for. I'm going to enjoy it with other fans because there's not going to be any way to avoid that, right?
Good.
Like I felt that way with Lord of the Rings, not so much with The Hobbit because I feel like it's not as exciting as Lord of the Rings was when it first came out.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, are you going to be a line waiter? Are you opening nighting this?
I will. I'm not only opening nighting it. I'm working on a like pre-screening costume party with like friends and family, and then potentially buying a ton of tickets.
Yeah, just buying a block.
Like buying a block of tickets, and may even go to a movie theater, like make a deal with the guy, like which may or probably won't work, but I'm going to try it.
Right? Never know. I mean, I want to do that. Like, I would love to go see this movie with. And you know, this is giving my plans away here. I'd love to get like. you know, 40 people together and go to the movie and just own the theater.
I mean, that's, if you think about it, you just have a party in the theater. I mean, yeah. No one talks during the movie, but still, you're all in the theater together. It's your movie theater. I mean,
there will be, this movie, I guarantee if you see it on opening night, every time one of the old characters, like, wait for me, and then they pan and it's Han Solo or something.
Oh, people are going to go
they're
going to
go insane. Nuts when grumpy old Harrison Ford comes on the screen. That's going to be the most cheering in a movie Harrison Ford ever got.
Probably. Well, Indiana Jones, I'm sure. Not as much as this. Not the return of Han Solo.
This is going to be this cameo, what effectively is a cameo for him, is going to be the most acclaimed thing he ever does.
Yeah, for sure. So there's one more thing I just wanted to like clear up that I've been hearing people scream about on the internet that don't know what they're talking about. And just for kind of like the casual fans, do we have time?
Yeah, we do have a time limit here.
So everyone's like, why is there a black Stormtrooper? Stormtroopers are clones of Boba Fett. They're actually not a clone of Boba Fett. They're a clone of Jango Fett, which is the original Boba Fett that, whatever, that's...
We're getting into clone dynamics here.
So basically, just so everybody knows, at the end of Episode 3, the Empire actually stopped utilizing Kamino to make clones, and they enlisted men, humanoids, some aliens too, for the Empire. Right. So do we have clones anymore in this time era in the Star Wars universe? I'm not sure, actually, at this point. There could be some now. But for the most part, all the Stormtroopers in Episodes 4, 5, and 6, are enlisted men. And mostly of human form. Right. So that kind of clears up that why there's a black Stormtrooper.
Well, also keep in mind, you also had Luke and Han wearing Stormtrooper outfits.
You did, yeah.
You know, so it could be a situation like that.
He could be a spy, right? If it's even a Rebel Alliance anymore or a Republic or whatever.
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, stolen armor to protect himself. Who knows? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
So why is people are complaining about things they don't even know about is the point here. It's like, that's crazy.
You know what the other thing I was wondering is the actor who played Jango Fett? Is he still acting? Like, maybe they couldn't get him?
I don't know. He's done a ton of work for video game voiceovers for Boba.
Sure.
And he's done, I don't think he was in Clone Wars because Boba is too young. It's a different voice actor. But he's done other stuff, right?
So, I'm sure we'll find out. Yep. So anyway, with that, I think we'll wrap it up. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. This is awesome.
I don't think I could have done this one without you.
I hope you can have me again. This is great. I'll be back for the trailer, right?
All right, we'll do the trailer then when the first movie comes out.
Got it.
So for Michael Pappas, I'm Fred Earhart. Said my name wrong. And may the Force be with you. Yeah.